The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, it's Monday. That means we're starting a new week, and that new week will be in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And this is going to be a unique time because Alex, and I talked to him earlier, is in Montana. Alex is at the first youth camp this summer that they'll have 8 youth camps, and they're in Montana. And he's already excited. He's probably speaking right now because I was talking to him right before the praise band was going to play and then he was going to preach. And so be praying for Alex and all the youth camps there. And he said, we're really excited. So he flew up to Rapid City and then he drove over into Montana where the camp is. So be praying for Alex. Well, sitting in for Alex today is a good friend and just a great pastor that I've known for quite some time. He's the pastor at Calvary Baptist Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and it's Dr. John Bowler. John, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Bert. Honored to be here.
It is good to have you here, and we're so thankful that you would take time to out of your schedule. Your guys are doing vacation Bible school. Wide open. So that's going to be exciting for you. I know it's always vacation Bible school is always a good time around church and everything that's going on. So we know it's going good at your place. But we're going to dig in to Ephesians chapter 4. And you and I were talking. So I want you to you can do this in place of me. The difference in chapter 1, 2, and 3, and then chapters 4, 5, and 6, I'll ask you this and you can comment. Is any of Paul's letters divided as well as Ephesians is concerning we got this and therefore we need to do this?
Paul is very unique in his writings, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. But what's interesting about the book of Ephesians is the first 3 chapters more positionally, more doctrinally, and then when you get to the last 3 chapters, more of a walk with Jesus. So the first 3 chapters, heavy on doctrine, heavy on the richness of Christ, heavy on this is what we believe, this is what it means to be saved. And then the last 3 chapters, this is our walk with Jesus. Here's why we believe it, and here's what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Paul is the author of 13 letters in the New Testament, and every book is unique. I don't know if there's one set up so evenly like the book of Ephesians, and I love it. I absolutely love it, and I love walking in right at chapter 4, verse 1.
Hey, I worked at that because I knew you would love that, but it starts off in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, mm-hmm. I therefore, and notice the word a prisoner, and then beseech you. I therefore beseech. Yep. In other words, based on what I've said, what the Holy Spirit has taught me, you know, mm-hmm. and what I'm asking you to do is this. So I'm beseeching you. Yep. I am beseech is more than a request. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a request, but it's with a request with expectation, yep. Isn't it? You
That's
know,
right.
It's a deeper word than okay. I'm making my request known.
Yeah,
and so. Therefore, and he's a prisoner. This is about the second or third time he mentions that he's a prisoner in the book of Ephesians. Now, what's unique, and I want you to comment on this too. While he is a prisoner, he's talking about the richness of God.
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
You know?
Well, going back up to chapter 1, verse number 3, where he talks about how blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So our salvation in Christ, we've been blessed in the heavenly places doctrinally. Then we get to the practical aspect, and he's not talking about being saved in the heavenly places, but being a prisoner because of what he believes. So I don't know how you can, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute, the high places and the low places. And I think that's what gives Paul the validity of what he's about to say. I beseech you, I'm a prisoner. I'm here not because I did anything wrong out in the world. I'm here because I love Jesus.
Yeah. And he did it for you, Gentiles. I mean,
right.
You know, he
That's
said,
right.
if I hadn't have done this, we wouldn't be having this trouble. The Jews
right.
don't like me saying the Gentiles can come to Christ mm-hmm. as equal as you.
Yeah.
And so it is. So let me read, if I could, verses 1, 2, and 3. We've already talked about it a little bit, but we want to look at it. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, here it is. He goes, walk worthy. This word walk will be used 5 times in these last 3 chapters. Now, what's interesting, guess how many times the word riches is used in the first 3 chapters?
Five times.
Now, rich, you could add 1 time he uses the word rich, but the word riches is used 5 times, and the walk is used 5 times. So our walk should be coming from the riches what he's given to us.
You can't separate the two. You can't be so focused on the riches of Christ that you neglect your walk, and you can't be so focused on what you do in life that you forget the doctrine that we believe. And this word, walk worthy, is a weight term, which means how we live for Jesus is just as heavy as what we believe. And every follower of Christ, this is what I believe. I love what the Scripture says. I believe it. And I think what Paul is saying here is you need to carry that weight into your walk, and don't separate the two. Both of them are just as important.
They really are.
Walk with Jesus. And if we go one way or the other, we get off track.
That's the reason they ask Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and I've used this before, what's more important, Bible reading and studying the Bible or prayer? And he said, well, I'd like to ask you a question. What's more important, breathing in or breathing out? Mm. And this is it. They go. Now, trying to live your walk out without the richness and the indwelling part of the Holy Spirit is a futile task.
It is. Well, the reason and the foundation of our walk is not us. It's not anything that we bring to the table. It's the richness of Christ. It's Paul is walking with Jesus in prison.
One more thing about the walk. Guess what you got to do before you walk? Stand. And over here in chapter 6, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist in truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having, again, there it is, the armor of God, even
Amen.
There.
Amen.
But, you know, it's like, well, right now, our middle son, he's got a 6-month-old little girl, and we probably won't see her again until she's standing and walking. But guess what she'll do before she walks?
She'll stand.
So if we're going to walk with Christ, we better learn to stand in the truth of Christ.
That's right. Well, and he goes on to say, worthy of the calling with which you were called. That's the reason behind it. And there is so much truth in this first verse that if you don't get verse 1 right, the rest of Ephesians doesn't make sense. It's because of who Christ is and the calling. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we walk with Jesus, because of what he's done in our heart. And we're going to talk about grace here in a minute. I know it's already been a subject here in Ephesians, but that's what it's all about. All about the grace of Jesus.
That's it. In Christ Jesus, the only way to get there is through his grace. So here it is, the calling with which you were called. That's some comment. In other words, the calling is from God. with which you have been called. In other words, we respond.
Yeah.
This calling is to be responded to. A calling has to have a response. Mm-hmm. If there's no response, there's no life.
That's right.
And
that's
here,
right.
The calling that he gave to these Gentiles in Ephesians and a few Jewish believers in Ephesus, not mm-hmm. a lot. He's writing basically to a Gentile church here more than any, I guess as much as any other church that he would write to.
Yeah.
And he is saying, you've been called, and God's called it. You have responded. Now notice, with what? And he gives seven different kind of, I tried to figure out a way to say this, characteristics, virtues, you know, but mm-hmm. just let me listen to them. We'll comment on them, John. First is lowliness or humility. And it says gentleness is, we'll get to what that word, long-suffering, forbearance with one another in love, endeavoring, and then the bond of peace.
Yes.
The seven qualities that we're called with that we live out.
Yes.
Is that what you're seeing?
That's what I'm seeing in verse 2, and I find it interesting that the foundation of all virtues is the first one that he mentions.
Humility.
It's with all lowliness, with all humility. It's almost like Paul is saying, walk worthy of the calling with which you received and be like Jesus.
Amen.
Because he goes back in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And he goes through that great hymn. Just speaking of not only the humility of Christ, but the exaltation of Christ, but with all lowliness and with gentleness and long-suffering, bearing one another in love. Lowliness, humility is totally contrary to what the world sees how we should walk.
Especially the Roman world at
yes.
that time. Now, I mean,
yes.
there are some issues like a politician or even a pastor or anybody that you see the pride in them, you know, it's mm-hmm. obvious, and it can be so strong that it's kind yeah. of detriment to us, but not here.
Well, and another thing I would say, you can't walk in humility without Jesus. This is this is a reminder. This is a Christian walk. No one can, hey, this is how I want to live my life. You have to have Christ first and his riches. Walk worthy, and the first step of that is this lowliness, and then he comes alongside here also with the word gentleness, which humility produces gentleness. You say, Brother John, I'm not a gentle person. I'd love to be a little more gentle. It starts with humility.
Yeah.
It starts with the lowliness of mind. And he goes on, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. And
forbearance.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right.
And that's the word it comes from, forbearance. And it's a quality that you have to work on.
Yes.
Oh, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Now, God gives you the humility for you to demonstrate forbearance, but with a lot of people, that forbearance really, really, it, really comes across, doesn't it, John? I mean, you're
does.
A pastor, and you know, there are some things you just put up with, you know, and okay, God, help me.
It's an agape love that is only given through Jesus.
Only through Christ.
Yes.
Our guest host today is John Bowler. He's pastor here in Tupelo, Mississippi. We've asked him to come alongside with Alex Ben at Montana at a youth camp. But we're going to be back, and we're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 4. There's some good stuff still coming. Don't go away.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Something beautiful is on the way, and where you are is not where you were made to stay.
Amen. There it is. And again, we get a lot of comments on our intro, our return music, you know. Brent picks it out, and we evaluate it. Usually it's really, really good. Once or twice, he's chosen one or two. Where'd you get that? But most time, it's right on. Thank you, Brent. We're in chapter 4, again, verses 2 and 3. Our guest host today is Dr. John Bowler. Alex, again, is in Montana at a youth camp. But we come to verse 2, bearing with one another in love. John, I think that occurred even when you go back to the 12 that followed Jesus, arguing over who's going to be first.
Yes.
That is a human trait.
Yes.
That only God can intervene and make it right.
That's right. This is an agape love, which is only given through a personal relationship with Christ. And it's almost, I was reading one scholar who said it's to know when to hold oneself back.
Yeah.
It's bearing with one another in love. And as you look at that virtue or characteristic, it's not the first one. And it's almost as if it's a stepping stone. Lowliness is going to bring gentleness, and gentleness is going to bring long-suffering. Long-suffering and patience is going to bring forbearing love, or bearing with one another in love. As you're doing that,
what
that
happens?
Next word, endeavoring. Endeavoring, and that's a good New King James word. Endeavoring. It says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Immediately, I want to look at that, especially as a pastor. Okay, I need to speak on this when a church is not unified. But it's not talking about organizational unity. It's talking about you have the Holy Spirit and I have the Holy Spirit. That is the unity that we need to keep, because churches don't create unity. The Holy Spirit does. And if we're united with the Holy Spirit, then that's endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit.
And this unity is not uniformity.
Yes, that's right.
Because he's going to get down, and we're not there yet, but he's going to talk about the gifts.
Yeah.
And the gifts are all different for each individual. And so here it is, the unity of the Spirit. He is the one that brings it. But endeavoring, and this is what the exhortation is, unity. Not just being like one another, but being able, through the power of the Holy Spirit and his humility, he brings us, for us to have some acceptance of one another in love. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean we do not hold each other accountable. We need to have iron sharpening iron, and that's what happens in unity. Mm-hmm. As long as you come to me and say, "Hey, Bert, can we talk about something?" and we sit down, and you have something that you've heard me say, you saw something how I treated someone, it kind of a short change with them, mm-hmm. and because this has happened, I've had an individual said, "Bert, you know, when you were talking to so and so, did you notice their response?" And I started thinking, yeah, I did. And I said, okay, what did I say? And I remember what I said, and I had to go back and get it right. Yeah. Not meaning to, you know, but sometimes we can be a little, I'm not going to say you, but sometimes I can be maybe a little brash or short with someone when I should not have done that.
Well, and we all can. And I'll just take the liberty, there may be a listener or a church, and you say, "Pastor, we're just going through some challenges. What advice can you give? How can we work through this?" And I would take him back here to Ephesians 4. Yes, it's not talking about organizational unity, but walking worthy in long humility and long suffering and gentleness, endeavoring to keep the peace. You have the Holy Spirit, I do too. We have the same goal, and we want to walk with Jesus. That's going to handle a lot of our conflict that we have. And that belt, the bond of peace.
That's it.
That's the end of verse number 3.
That's it.
And in the bond of peace. That's what keeps it all together.
And it comes back right before it does that, the unity of the Spirit. And that's what we started talking about. When we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God, we have all we need of God. We just need to let God have more of us.
Amen.
We don't pray, okay, God, give me more. No, God has already indwelt us, and we have the capacity to walk this worthy walk.
Yes.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is it easy? No, it is not, because self... I don't know, the most difficult person in every church I've had has been Bert Harper. Self.
Self, yes.
Self. You say, well, you don't seem that way. Well, you know, we are. We have to overcome that, don't we, John? Who, the Holy Spirit of God, only through him.
So Romans 7, the Apostle Paul, in the recent sermon, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. And then later on in the scripture, he says, I'm the chief of all sinners. And here's the greatest missionary who walked the face of the earth and the church planter. And he understood that he gets in the way, and I think we all do.
The more, okay, I've lived a long life. The more I know of Christ and the closer I get to him, the more I understand who Bert Harper really, that he could save a wretch like me.
The closer you get to the light,
more is exposed.
The more is exposed.
Let's move on to verse 4. Now, here it is. One. We're going to find 1, 1, 1. And again, it's 7 ones, just like there's 7 of these virtues. Here are 7 ones. Let me read it in verses 4 and 5 and 6, and then we'll comment. There is one body and one spirit, just as there were called in, as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let me read verse 7 and 8 with that real quickly, or at least verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We'll get back to that. The reason I wanted to get to each one, we have all these ones. I just found that amazing. But let's talk about it. One body. I think that's easy. You got the body of Christ.
Yes.
The church, the whole church, the bride of Christ. Does that exclude the local body, or does it include the local church?
I think it absolutely includes.
I do too.
It is a picture. There's one unified body,
right.
The body of Christ, which is the church. When Jesus returns and he takes his church home, it's not, I got to go get this church and this church. It's one church.
One church.
So you're talking about unity. He gives some examples of that. One body, and then he says there's one spirit. I think that can be self-explanatory.
That's pretty easy. That doesn't take a lot of exegesis.
That's right. And then he says, just as you were called in one hope, we have one reason to live, for Jesus.
For Jesus. He is our hope. Now, the hope is who he is, where he is, and what he's going to do. I mean, think about that. He came to us, and we're going to get to that later on if we get that far today in verse 8. But he came to us when we couldn't go to him, and then he paid the price, but then he ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father.
That's right.
So what he did, where he is, and then also we have a hope that completes that when he's coming back. So it's when you see that hope, it's the entirety of who Jesus Christ is.
That's right.
And what he has done and what he's continuing to do and will do.
That's all of that,
isn't it, John?
Well, and it goes to verse 5, one Lord. There's one way to heaven.
Only one. There's not a plan B.
There's not a plan B. And they say, well, that's a narrow way. Jesus said, that's right. It's a narrow way. It's through Jesus.
Okay,
one
let's
Lord.
Make sure we get this. We're going to get the Trinity in this.
Yes.
One Spirit in verse 4. Now we have one Lord in verse 5. Now we'll go on ahead before we get to the third part. The one faith?
Yes.
Okay. Faith in Christ. Yes, it is. But there was the faith. You know, they keep the faith. It's that relationship, knowledge, and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's the backdrop of the first three chapters, the richness of Christ, the doctrine of it. It's one faith.
One faith.
It's not a separate belief for Jews or Gentiles. It's not a separate belief for someone here in the States or somebody of another part of the world. It's one faith, and it's one doctrine.
And so all roads don't lead to heaven?
No.
There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
That's right.
So one faith is when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father except through me.
There's only one name
given among men
whereby we must be saved, Paul says. The same person who wrote this, Peter said that in the book of Acts, and that's through Jesus, only Jesus.
I've got to stop here. Those of you who are listening, if you're trying to get to heaven on your good works, being a member, quote, of the right church, getting baptized with the right words, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ that takes place in our life. And if you've never experienced that, we want you to know him. That's one of the reasons this program exists at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Every program is talking about how God is operating, but a lot of times it's in the world of politics, in the world of government, in the world of society. We have this program each day set here. How's God working in your life? How's God doing that? So if you've never known him, John and I are asking you, trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. You say, well, what words do I need to say? Well, I want to tell you, God looks deeper than words, and he looks deeper than that which is external. He's looking at the heart. Would you call on him today? Say, God, I'm a lost sinner. I can't save myself. I know Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and he's with the Father right now, and I'm asking him to forgive me of my sin, and I'm asking him to be Lord of my life. I'm ready, lock, stock, and barrel, nothing in reserve. I'm giving it all. If you'll do that today, I want to tell you to change your world forever, won't it, John?
Amen. Amen. He is a life changer, and I keep going back to what he says here in verse 1, to walk worthy, and everything else that we see flows from that. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Is it talking about spirit baptism as we when we receive Christ? Is it talking about water baptism? The answer is yes.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Bert.
To be a part of the, we talked about the big church. Mm-hmm. Local. Now, when I say big church, for my boys, it meant after Sunday school, we go to the big church,
That's right.
Know, where everybody
That's
is.
Right.
But when we're talking about it here, we're talking about the worldwide, every believer being a part of the body. But to be a part of a local body, you need that baptism.
That's right.
And
it's an identification.
It is.
With Christ. It's a picture of what Christ has done in your heart. And it's a picture of your old life and new life coming up, picture of Jesus dying and rising again. And he says only one baptism. Only one.
The only way is through Jesus Christ. And when that happens, the Spirit, one Spirit, at that moment, at that point in time when we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the indwelling Holy Spirit comes into our life. Yes. We pray for many fillings. We don't pray for more baptisms, you know, but many fillings.
That's
be
right.
Filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a nautical term. It has the idea of lifting your sails and letting the wind blow those sails, which is empowering you. It directs you, you know.
That's right.
And let's get to the last one here in verse 6, because time's fleeting. And it says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And I'll make this statement, John, you talk about it. One Spirit in verse 4. One Lord in verse 5, and now one God and Father. Paul really is like Jesus did. Our Father which art in heaven, the model prayer, he refers to the Father.
He does, and verse 6 is rich. And you could say that on any verse here in the Bible, and especially Ephesians. But he says, one God and one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. It tells he is above creation. He doesn't need water to drink. He doesn't need oxygen to breathe. The scripture says he is Father of all, who is above all. We're going to see in just a minute, higher than the heavens. But then he comes down through all and in you all. The Father who is above the heavens works in and through us. Through his Spirit. Brother John, how in the world can I walk worthy? You can't. but it's the Spirit of God who is above all working in and through us, giving us the power and the ability to live in the richness of who Christ is.
Yeah.
That's what verse 6 is about.
To each one of us, grace has been given. That grace is given through the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes.
Well, listen, this is so powerful that God has a plan. He's provided it. Now you need to walk in it. Those of you that are followers of Jesus Christ, walk worthy of the calling. Live up to your name.
That's right.
A Christ follower.
Christ follower.
Live up to
Christ
it.
Follower.
Well, we're going to take phone calls. Do you know it's already close to the third segment? Time passes,
Amen.
Doesn't it?
Amen.
Hey, that number, and we want your Bible question. We'd love to hear it today. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question on the book of Ephesians or anywhere else in the Bible, that's kind of scary. 66 books to pick from. And we're going to try to answer that here on Exploring the Word. Right now, the voices in our culture are loud, but truth is often silent. And today, Preborn needs you to help speak that truth. Women facing unplanned pregnancies are often pressured to act quickly. Before they have time to pause, breathe, or hear the truth about life, dignity, and hope. But I refuse to be silent, and I'm asking you to join me. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman is welcomed with compassion and given a free ultrasound. She sees the life growing inside her, often for the first time. And in that sacred moment, fear gives way to clarity. And she's offered something the abortion industry will never provide, the hope of Jesus Christ. This April, our goal is to have 11,000 gospel conversations in Preborn Network clinics, trusting God to bring the increase as we remain faithful to speak. You can help make that possible by sponsoring ultrasounds. Just $28 provides one ultrasound. $140 sponsors five ultrasounds for mothers in crisis. Every dollar helps save babies and share the good news of Jesus Christ. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/host. That's preborn.com/host. This is Burke Harper along with Dr. John Bowler sitting in for Alex McFarland today, and you're calling in. We're so glad that you would choose to call in, and we're going to do our best to give you answers. First, biblical. We try to do that and make sure as best we can, depending on the Holy Spirit and what God has taught us. So we're going to go straight to the phone lines, John. Are
let's
you ready?
It. Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go to Kansas. Wayne, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hello, my brother. Thanks for the radio program. Earlier, one of you mentioned Paul claiming to be the chief of sinners. And I researched that one very carefully and read it in context. And he lists the reasons that he would summarize his life that way. And every sin he lists in that paragraph is things he used to commit when he was under the law. Am I reading it correctly?
Okay. Well, this is found in, what is it?
It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15 is the specific passage.
Let me read again, and what you're saying, Wayne, is so important, the context in which it's listed. Here it is. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ. I'm in 1 Timothy. Right? Am I 1 Timothy?
Yeah. Timothy 1:15.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And here it is, verse 12. I'm sorry. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he's counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Although I was formerly, here it is, a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That is the context, but he did not say, I was.
That's right.
He uses the present am, doesn't he, John?
That's right. And I think what Paul is saying here in this passage, especially in verse 15, it is a passage that is sharing his testimony, how he came to know Christ. And I don't think the Apostle Paul is saying that he is on the top of the list, because my sin deserves eternal punishment just as the Apostle Paul. But he says, I understand what I've been saved from, and I understand that Jesus Christ came to save me, including everything that I did. And he also goes through verse 16 and 17 that talks more about who Jesus is and how he showed him mercy and he showed him grace. But when the Apostle Paul, the chief of sinners, you can take Paul's name out and put my name in there. You can put anybody's name, because we're all sinners in need of Jesus.
This, I want to read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 in that context as well. He said, Paul writes, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, the grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Less than the least.
That's right.
What this is a view of who we are and who God is. Mm-hmm. The bridge is so far apart from where God is and where I am, that there's nothing that man can do, any man on earth, to bridge that gap. God had to do it, and
that's
he
right.
did it through Christ Jesus.
That's the grace of Jesus.
And that's the way we need to see it.
Yes.
That he could save a sinner like me. You know, this whole idea, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? Wretch like me.
Romans 7. Verse 24, 25, right before we get into one of the great chapters of the Bible, Romans 8, Paul's talking about his walk with Jesus. O wretched man that I am, I thank God through Jesus Christ for saving me. But even as I walk with Jesus, the times that I fall, he and his grace is there. We cannot live without Jesus.
Amen. Hey, Wayne, thank you. That's a good, and when you read that in that passage, you see that he still remembers who he, don't forget
who
you were, where he's brought me from, and where I could have been.
Amen.
And I think
Amen.
That's the reason he would respond. I think we should respond that way as well. Let's go to Virginia. Cecil, thank you for calling. Go right ahead, brother.
Hey, Brother Bird, I just wanted to call and just to let you know how much I appreciate your integrity and you know, the pastor you have with you today. I was just sitting here listening. I'm painting a fence, rebuilding a fence in my house. And I listen to you guys pretty often, and I could hear the joy in your voice, and I know that, you know, God was flooding you while you were sharing the word. And so I just want to reach out and thank you and Alex and the whole team for spreading the word and walking in integrity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cecil. John, you listen sometimes. Does the reality and the passion, we want people to know Jesus.
There is joy in Jesus.
Amen.
There is joy because Jesus is alive and well. And if you can't smile and be joyful for that, then nothing else is going to work. There is joy in Jesus.
This thought hit me while you're saying, to be a Christian in Ephesus, yeah. one of the most wicked cities that there was.
Yes.
I mean, it was Seco City. It was traveling. I mean, it was a crossroads for everything, and mm-hmm. the temple there, Diana,
right.
was there,
right.
and he had joy in his telling them to have that.
That's right.
Hey,
that's
if it's right. tough in 2026, it's been tougher in other times
Amen.
As well.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Cecil. Let's go to Ohio, and it's Bob. Bob, go right ahead. Thank you for calling, brother.
Sure. Hey, I enjoy your show and the Bible study every day. I just wanted to point out, I see a difference between the hope that Paul mentions there in Ephesians chapter 4. There's one hope. Well, in Israel's program, there's two hopes. There's a hope for the Jew and a hope for the Gentile. As we read the Old Testament, we learn that Isaiah chapter 60 is a good example of that, and everybody can read that on their own. But the Gentiles come to a believing Israel, and they bring their money, and they rebuild walls, and they do all these good things on behalf of Israel. And so I thought, wow, that's a great passage there. Those seven unities for us today, yeah, that's way cool. I appreciate your study today.
Okay, Bob. This is the neat part. I mean, that's what he spent in the first few chapters talking about the Jew and the Gentile becoming what?
One.
So are we to support each other?
I go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's the hope for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The unity that is there, whether it's Jew or whether it's Gentile, there is one hope, and that can only be found through Jesus.
Well, maybe listening, but one of my very best, dearest friends on earth is a Jew who's mm-hmm. come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A brother in Christ and just awesome and equal in unity.
That's right.
In Christ. Bob, I think you're right. Okay, we want to go to Demetrius in Texas. Demetrius, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Man, brothers, I just want to encourage you guys to keep pushing forward because it's people like me that learned a lot. I did 25 years in federal prison. I just want to ask you guys to say some encouraging words to the guys in there because there are a lot of guys in there that listen to your programs all day long on American Family Radio. And, I mean, they're faithfully committed. And the proof is in the pudding. Guys have came out, and they are changed lives. Jesus Christ is alive and well today in the hearts of the people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Demetrius, Amen. Thank you. Hey, brother, keep it going. Did you come to Christ while you were incarcerated, after you got out, or in prison?
No, sir. I was 19 years old when I went to prison, and I came out when I was 45. I led a men's Bible study there for 20 years. Anything I could get my hands on, good, solid teaching, like people like John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul. I mean, they don't have a lot of that stuff in there, and I spent a lot of money getting my own stuff in there because there's just a lot of bad doctrine in there, and I will not put up with it. And, again, the proof is in the pudding. Let God be the truth and every man a liar.
Amen. Well, brother, I want to do that. We know we get a lot of letters from inmates, John. Alex gets them. I get them. We read them. And what God is doing there is amazing. 2 years ago, I got to go to a county facility here in the state of Mississippi that has state prisoners, and I got to preach there. And they were telling me how they gather around the radio during Exploring the Word to have their Bible study every day.
Amen.
And this is the power of radio.
Yes.
And we don't listen. That's the power. That's why during Share-a-thons, and we tell people, your money goes further than just here. It goes to all over the world.
Yes.
Demetrius, thank you. And let me say a word of encouragement to those of you that are incarcerated and listen. I want to tell you, you've got a fellow prisoner. His name is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was in prison when he was writing this book of Ephesians. He also wrote the book of Colossians, the book of Philemon. It seemed like there's one more. You remember?
Philippians.
That's Philippians. Right. Philippians. And listen, you got a fellow prisoner. That's what he calls himself, a prisoner of the Lord.
That's right. You know, the grace of God and the salvation, the joy of Jesus is not bound by walls. And you may find yourself in a prison cell. and Jesus is there with you, and He will encourage you. I encourage you, if you're listening, to if you have a Bible available, to study the Word, to read the Word. If you have radio, television available, to be able to watch and to listen programs like AFR and Exploring the Word and others, to be able to grow in your walk with Jesus, that some of the books of the New Testament that we have, some of them, like you just mentioned, were written from prison. If God can give us a book of joy like Philippians,
rejoice
Lord always. Can I say rejoice from a prison cell? Then the Lord can encourage you wherever you're at.
And just let me share this with you. God is not through with you.
That's right.
We hear from Demetrius and how God is using him in a Bible study. We thank God for that, and just keep on. Father, I pray you'd be with those who are listening that are incarcerated. I've met some of them. I've communicated with some. And Father, I thank you for the difference you made in their lives through the Word of God and through AFR and using Exploring the Word. Father, may you just continue doing that, drawing them to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Demetrius. Well, let's go to Alabama, and it's Russell. Russell, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, Russell, first-time caller. I was cooking and tuned in and wanted to call. I want to know more about that word blessed in verse 3. Can you share a little? Because I've heard that it means, like, extremely happy, like almost to the point of eclipsing like grief and sorrow and lament. I'm someone who's going through a hard season of some grief right now. And so when it says blessed, does that mean extremely happy and eclipsing our grief? Or does it mean we still can have a little of that sorrow? Because Jesus was man of sorrows. Could you help me with that?
I'll do my best. We will do our best. The thing that the Lord does is bless us with all spiritual blessings. That's where it comes from. We're blessed that way. I was listening to someone this weekend. I was getting preached to, John. And one of the key things of being thankful is looking to where you are and where you could be, mm-hmm. you know, and it brings. But joy, and that's the book of Philippians. It's connected with blessed, Russell. It really is. And it is so true. Joy comes from within. David wrote, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation."
That's right.
And joy is based upon this relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're blessed to have this relationship. We have a brother. We have a Savior that's closer than a brother. And we really know that. And that we're blessed to have that. You want to add to that, John?
Sure. Well, that's Ephesians 1, verse 3, where it says that He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I take you to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Very similar from Peter's perspective and Paul's perspective. The word blessed is to give, that He has given us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and He's blessed us with a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's given that to us.
And we have that, Russell, in Him. Again, I'm pointing to Ephesians verses, chapters 1, 2, and 3 tells what we have. And it is introduced there in that verse 3, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And then it follows up 5 times. He used the word riches. Mm-hmm. And one of them is unsearchable riches. And that doesn't mean easy. We in America, we think being blessed is easy.
That's right.
We've got brothers and sisters in the Sudan, Nigeria, North Korea. Listen, their joy is not in their possessions or even having it easy. They have it hard, they have the joy, don't they, John?
Amen. Amen. Some of them are prisoners of the Lord,
they
love
Amen.
Jesus.
Russell, thanking. We're praying that God would just show you His blessing, and tough years come. They really do. John knows that. He and his wife gone through some hard times, but God has sustained them, and that's part of the joy. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We're going to continue tomorrow in the book of Ephesians. And if you want to read ahead, read the rest of chapter 4, and we'll join you tomorrow with Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.